بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات. وقال: شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: أيها الناس، قد أظلكم شهر عظيم مبارك، شهر فيه ليلة خير من ألف شهر، إلى قوله. وقال: وهو شهر أوله رحمة، وأوسطه مغفرة، وآخره عتق من النار. صدق الله مولانا العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. My dear respected elders, brothers and friends, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduces the month of Ramadan with classifying it as an obligation upon us, upon the Muslims, upon the believers. The first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about is obligation. Imagine if the month of Ramadan was not an obligation upon us. Imagine if it was optional. The benefits that you would derive from an obligation compared to a voluntary act, a voluntary fast, would not be the same. We can see it. The month of Ramadan, everyone is forced to fast. You're obliged to fast. You have no choice. Out of the month of Ramadan, nafal fast, be it the Monday, Thursday fast, be it the 3-day fast in the month, those are now your choice. The benefits that one gets from fasting in the month of Ramadan for that period of time is not the same as fasting any other fast. That is why Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the fast of Ramadan, they are the best fast. They are the best fast. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it an obligation, in fact a mercy upon us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it a mercy upon us. Take a child or a son, for instance. You know what? You tell him, do this. You have the choice to do this, or you have the option to do this. What will happen? In most cases, he won't do it. Unless the father now instructs him, makes it compulsory for him to do so, then he'll do it. So this is actually a mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us. Fasting the entire 30 days in a month, and for this period of time. The second thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the verse when introducing fasting is that fasting was obligatory upon the people of the past as well. So you're not the only nation, you're not the only ummah that fasts or had fasts in the past. The other ummahs and nations also fasted. So don't think this is something new. Yes, in terms of its form, it is new, it is different. So the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has a distinct feature, that is having the full 30-day fast. No other ummah of the past had a full 30-day fast. They had their own fast in their own form. And then the third, the objective, piety and taqwa. And again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows his mercy, consoles us to say, ayyama ma'aduda, just a few days, nothing more than a few days. Further, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when speaking about the month of Ramadan, speaks about the Qur'an. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن. The month of Ramadan is a month in which the Qur'an Kareem was revealed. Now when you speak to a revert Muslim that enters the fold of Islam after doing his research and after finding his way to Islam, he appreciates Islam more than us. Why? Because he saw the other side. He saw the uncertainty. He saw the doubt. He saw the lack of evidence and proof. But when he enters Islam and he sees the Quran, he learns the Quran, that is now, it opens everything for him. It clears all his doubts. It clears all his uncertainties. So again, Quran, a mercy for you, وَبَيِّنَاتٍ مِّنَ الْهُدَى وَالْفُرْقَانِ. In fact, in a hadith, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed us that not only the Quran was revealed in the month of Ramadan, but the other major books were also revealed in the month of Ramadan. So the scriptures of Ibrahim alayhi salam, they were revealed on the first night or the first of Ramadan. The Torah, that was revealed on the sixth of Ramadan. The Zabur, that was revealed on the 13th of Ramadan. And the Quran al-Kareem was revealed on the 24th of Ramadan. Musnad Ahmad Hadith. So, not only the Quran, but the other scriptures, the major ones, were revealed in the month of Ramadan. So, whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the month of Ramadan or fasting, it is always tied with the Quran al-Kareem. That is why the month of Ramadan is the month of the Quran. Now, fasting. It is common behavior of a human being that when he is not informed or aware of its virtues, of its benefits, then he tends to not give it any attention, he tends to ignore it. So that is why faza'il and virtues have to be mentioned and repeated over and over again so that we value the benefit and the reward of the fasting. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that in the month of Ramadan, the doors of Jannah are open and the doors of Jahannam are closed, and the shayateen, the devil, they are chained, they are put into shackles. Now the scholars say this hadith or this occasion of Ramadan is actually a moment of congratulation for the believer. Why? Because the doors of Jannah are open. If someone passes away, he goes straight to Jannah. The doors of Jahannam are closed for the sinner that sins. If he passes away, he knows the door of Jannah is still open for him. The door of Jahannam is closed. And for the one that is caught up in the mischief of his nafs and his egos, the shaitan, the devil, is now chained, is put into shackles. So congratulation to the believer. So the month of Ramadan is indeed a mercy, a congratulation, a moment of joy, a moment of happiness for the believer, for a person to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to earn his mercy. The fasting person, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that the five salahs, they expiate for the sins. The fast from one Ramadan to the next Ramadan, they expiate one's sins. And everything in between, except for the kaba'ir, the major sins are all forgiven. So the scholars would say that the person whose Jumu'ah is safe, his week is safe. The person whose Ramadan is safe, his year is safe. The person whose Hajj is safe from all evils, etc., his entire life will be safe. So the month of Ramadan must not be looked at like any other month of Ramadan. We need to appreciate the value. When you appreciate it, you'll take full advantage of it. When at the start, the first day, second day, third day of Ramadan, you know, you start at full force. After that, we start to fall away. The crowds start falling away in the masjid, so on and so forth. We need to reignite this over and over again. Do not let any day in Ramadan go past without deriving maximum benefit of it, even if we see others around us not deriving maximum benefit from it. Why? Ramadan is for us, and it is for our benefit. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that there are three du'as that are not rejected ever. And this, remember, when Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives a guarantee, it's a real guarantee. There's no two ways about it. The du'a that is not rejected is the du'a at the time of iftar. That du'a is not rejected. And added to that, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that the rewards, generally speaking, when you study the hadith, you'll find rewards between 10 to 700. Anywhere between that figure, you'll find 10 to 700. But when it comes to fasting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not specified a specific amount and reward for that. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I personally will give that person the reward for fasting. And the fasting person has two bounties. That at the time of iftar, some scholars say this refers to that dua that we're speaking about, and other scholars refer to the person opening the fast that is making the iftar itself. And the other joy that a person will experience is the joy on the day of Qiyamah when Allah will personally give him the reward for fasting. So great rewards mentioned for fasting. In Jannah, there is a specific door, Ar-Rayyan, kept and for a person that observes the fast. Anyone that fasts will enter to that door, VIP entrance. So that door is kept for you specifically in Jannah. So the fast, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it a mercy for us. It's actually sort of a spiritual boot camp for us. How? things that are normally haram for you out of the month of Ramadan, food, drink, and conjugal relations, that has now become haram for you. In other words, you've made it haram and impermissible on yourself during the month of Ramadan by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is a spiritual detox for a person to now figure out how far am I down the line. Remember, shaitan is out of the equation. What do you got in play here? You've got your ego and you've got your desires in play. So basically, all the effect that shaitan left on you, or all your own personal desires that lead you to any wrong, that is the, your own effect that you have within your heart. And that is why the month of Ramadan is here for us to now cleanse that, to cleanse that slate, to come out with a clean slate, and so that we protect ourselves till the next Ramadan. So again, mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, understand how much mercy Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Again, so short the fast. We were in England one of the years. The fast there is 18 to 19 hours. Starts off at 18 to 19, it then drops to 17 to 16 hours of fast. So some places have it more difficult than others. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it easy for us. Our fast is between 12 to 13 hours, generally speaking. Currently is around 13 hours. So it's not a difficult fast for us as well. So we sometimes may not even feel the hunger, based on our situation, based on the season, based on the area. But that should not go without notice. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still values it at the end of the day. Why? Because you are preventing and restricting yourself from that which is halal and permissible for you through the divine command and instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So indeed, great rewards. The stages of Ramadan. First 10 days, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, days of mercy. Second 10 days, days of maghfirah and forgiveness. Third 10 days, freedom from hellfire. What du'as do you read? First 10 days, Allahumma arhamni, read all the du'as of mercy. Second 10 days, what do you read? Allahumma aghfirli, read all the du'as of forgiveness. Last 10 days, Allahumma ajirni minan nar, read the du'as that protect you from the fire of Jahannam. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when addressing the Sahaba, was speaking to them and saying that how unlucky that person, raghima anf, how unlucky that person, that when the Ramadan, when the month of Ramadan comes, he has not earned the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu would address the people on the last night of Ramadan and say that which person has gained the forgiveness and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, congratulations to you. Which person has not earned the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may we console you. And then he would say, lucky is that person who has earned the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And oh, the one that has not earned the forgiveness of Allah, may Allah rectify your situation. So let not the month of Ramadan go without gaining the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, these are in terms of the fazail and the virtues of fasting. The spiritual dimension of fasting, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that there are many people who fast, but the only thing they suffer from is what? Hunger and sleeplessness. Why? Because they do not keep it with the intention of earning the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and drawing from His treasures. Do not be like that person. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said that Allah does not have any concern for that person's fast who engages in lies, who engages in false behavior, in false conduct, etc., in ignorance. Allah does not have any need for that person. So make sure, firstly, one takes full benefit, spiritual benefit from the fast. And at the same time, one has to ensure that the fast itself is preserved and it's kept valid throughout the month of Ramadan. So we look at Sawm. What does Sawm mean? Sawm means abstention. And from a technical or legal point of view, what does it mean? It means abstaining from the nullifiers of fast from dawn till dusk. From the time of Subh Sadiq right till the time of sunset. That is the definition of fasting. The three main nullifiers that we talk about is what? Eating, drinking, and engaging in conjugal relations. These things must stop, right? So a person must not engage in these things to ensure that the fast remain valid. Now, remember, the fast in Ramadan, even if one has to keep qaza of it later on and so forth, the reward that one gains, or the benefit that one gains in the month of Ramadan, can never ever be achieved outside the month of Ramadan. Never ever. This is kept specific to the month of Ramadan. So when a person asks, should I fast, shouldn't I fast, way he's excused, obviously the default position will be you should fast if you can. Because once you understand the virtues of it, like we've mentioned, you will not forego the fast. Given our situation, given our lifestyle, if a person is traveling, for instance, he by default is excused from fasting. A lot of people will be traveling for Umrah, etc. Now, do you fast, don't you fast? Quran tells you, you're excused. But look at the situation, the traveling circumstances. You're jumping in a plane here, you're going to another place. The flight is not too long. Bear the difficulty a little bit more than normal, but you'll get the full reward. Take advantage of it. Yes, if you can't keep it for whatever circumstances and it breaks, you keep the qaza later on. But try your best to keep the fast in any and every circumstance. Don't think that, okay, travel now, I'm excused, no fast, I'll keep the qaza later. Yes, fast will be valid. The reward that you will get in keeping it in Ramadan, it will never be achieved outside of the month of Ramadan. So just keep that in mind. In terms of the masail of fasting, it's preferred that a Q&A format is followed. So I'll read a few questions out to you and then answer them. And then at the end, we'll take some questions from the floor, inshallah. So firstly, we have to look at the prerequisites of fasting. Once the prerequisites of fasting are found, the fast is valid. In fact, a person must observe the fast. So the first is Islam. A person must be a Muslim to keep the fast. If a person is a kafir, the fast is not valid. A person has to be mature, has to be baligh for the fast, to keep the fast. A child that is mumayyiz, a child that is of an understanding age, that keeps the fast, doesn't have to keep the fast, but keeps the fast will be considered valid, and they will earn the benefit and the reward of it, but not compulsory on them to keep the fast. Sanity and consciousness. A person must be sane and conscious. For example, if a person is in a hospital, and a person is unconscious for a long period of time, 1 day, 2 days, etc., in fact, for the entire duration of the fast, then that fast doesn't apply to that person, because in that moment, from that, let's say, Subah Sadiq till sunset, that person was not conscious. So the fast is not compulsory on that person. The being free from menses and lochia and postpartum bloods, this is for ladies. Ladies that are in haiz and nifas, experiencing menses or postnatal bleeding, they are exempt from the fast. In fact, they can't keep the fast at all. They'll have to make qaza of the fast later on. And then a person who is able to fast. In other words, a person is not suffering from a chronic or permanent illness. That person has to fast. But if you've got that chronic or permanent illness, for instance, diabetes, the doctor told you, Muslim doctor told you and informed you that, listen, you can't fast. If you're going to fast, your blood pressure will go down. This will happen, that will happen, so on and so forth. That person is excused from fasting. We'll explain later what that person must do. So, a person asked the question, can a person make an intention to keep a farz? And this would include sunnah, nafil fast after sahri has ended. So this brings us to the question of intention. For every action, there has to be an intention. For fasting, there has to be an intention. So the month of Ramadan, a person has to make the intention to keep the fast. If you've got no intention, the fast doesn't count. It doesn't count at all. So now, the time to make the intention for a farz fast or the fast of Ramadan is when you should do it at night. In other words, before Subh Sadiq ends. So you see, it's almost Fajr time, you make your intention. Now the intention is what? The intention does not have to be verbal. The intention is from the heart. There is no requirement for you to verbalize the intention. Yes, it's best, it's good to do that. But there's nothing wrong if a person just wakes up, does everything that would mean that he would be keeping the fast, for example, partaking of sehri, etc., that will count as the intention. There's no need to verbalize it. Some people like to sit in the family and everyone now reads the intention. No need for all that. It's all from the heart. So, farz fast, that time. Now, what happens if a person didn't actually make that intention at sehri time? Let's say, for instance, the person was flying into South Africa or was flying out of South Africa and a person didn't make the intention for whatever reason. And a person arrives at a location where it is not Zawal time as yet. A person still wants to keep the fast. So you've gone from South Africa, you arrived in Makkah Mukarrama, Medina Munawwara. You were not fasting initially, but when you landed there or wherever, Dubai, etc., it was not Zawal time as yet. That's the scenario. Can you now fast because it's Ramadan day? So you are allowed and permitted to keep the fast even though you did not start fasting, provided that you did not do anything that broke the fast, and provided that is still within the Dahwatul Kubra time. What does this mean? Dahwatul Kubra refers to the time close to Zawwal. In other words, you take the time between dawn, that is Subh Sadiq, and the time between sunset, and you have it. It's generally 1 or 2 hours before the actual Zawwal time. So if it's within that time, let's say approximately 10 o'clock, you landed in Dubai, you didn't do anything that broke the fast, you didn't start the fast because you were traveling, but when you ended there, it was Ramadan time, you can still keep the fast. You can still keep the fast. But if you broke that fast, you did anything that would nullify the fast, you can't keep that fast. If Zaid's flight is scheduled at 8 a.m., can he forego the fast? So now, the rule is, if at the time of fasting, in other words, the Subh Sadiq time, the true dawn time, you were classified as a musafir, as a traveler, in other words, you left the boundaries of Durban already, right? You were made your way to the airport, then fasting for you is not compulsory, you are exempt from fasting, right? Of course, we encourage you to keep the fast, but you are exempt from fasting. On the other hand, you left home at 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock, in other words, after the Subh Sadiq time passed, after true dawn passed, do you have to keep the fast or not? In that case, you don't have a choice. Because you were present and fasting and not classified and categorized as a musafir and a traveler at that time, you have to fast for the day even though you are traveling. If you break it later on for due to a valid reason, then you keep the qaza of it. But you have no choice but to keep the fast of that specific day. So it all depends on your travel and your flight arrangements. With regards to sari, I wanted to know if the virtue of, what is the virtue of it, and if it is must, will the fast be valid? So the ruling of partaking in sari is that it is mustahab, it is preferable. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, partake of sari because there's barakah and blessings in it. But if someone doesn't partake of sari and misses it, for instance, does it affect your fast? It doesn't affect your fast in any way. Yes, you would miss the reward and the benefit of it, but you can still continue fasting, make your intention and continue as normal. If one is traveling on an aeroplane whilst fasting, when does one break the fast? The ruling in regards to that is that wherever you are at that point in time, wherever it is sunset time as you are flying over a country, Egypt, etc., you'll find out from the airline, they will tell you, listen, it is now sunset at this point in time. You will break your fast accordingly. Nowadays, there are so many apps, but you can verify, find out the time, and then break your fast in the plane. Your iftar is done, or your sehri can also be done in that way. I will be traveling from South Africa to Saudi Arabia for Umrah during the month of Ramadan and returning to South Africa after Eid. Saudi started their fast before South Africa and has Eid. Will have Eid before South Africa, so the fast may be shorter than South Africa. When I'm in Saudi, do I complete the fast with Saudi Arabia or with South Africa? What should I do? Remember, the rule is wherever you are at that point in time, you would follow the sighting of that area, of that country, and fast accordingly, and similarly break your fast and celebrate Eid accordingly. Now, there'll be many people that will be traveling for Umrah during the month of Ramadan. They started fast here, and then they end up in Saudi, and then they celebrate the Eid with the Saudis. What do you do now? So now you got to take the combined number of the fast, the combined number of the fast, and see the amount of it. So you started here, South Africa, let's say you got 20 fast, you went there Saudi, let's say you got 29 fast with them, and then you celebrated Eid, no problem. Why? Because you got a full month of fasting. A month cannot be less than 29 days. An Islamic month cannot be less than 29 days. But if the combined amount is less than 29 days, for example, 28 days, and it happens, last year it happened, a few years ago it happened, previously it happened. If it's 28 days, then you have to come home after Ramadan and make qaza of that one day. Why? Because there's no month that is less than 29 days. So in order to get a full month, you will work it at 29 days and make that qaza of that one day. On the flip side of it, let's say you've got the full 29 days there, and then you came here, and let's say it's not the day of Eid as yet, wherever you are. Do you fast? Don't you fast? You had Eid there already. So the rule is that wherever it is the month of Ramadan, you have to observe the fast with the people. And you celebrate with the people. So you'll get one Eid there, you'll get one Eid here also. Two Eids. Plus, you may be fasting 30, you may be fasting 31. Doesn't make a difference. Why? Because the rule is you fast with the people when they fast, and you celebrate Eid when they celebrate Eid. So, you have to keep your flight arrangements in mind, because a lot of people are traveling, and these affect your fast. When I was young, after becoming baligh, I would eat sehri and break my Ramadan fast at school without any valid reason. At that time, I was unaware of the importance of fasting. This happened for approximately 3 Ramadans. I have not kept any of the fast or kafara as yet. Now that I fully understand its importance and able to keep them, please advise how should I go about doing it. Now, there's two things that we need to keep in mind here. One is breaking the fast and one is missing the fast. In terms of breaking the fast, if a person intentionally breaks the fast, then there is a qaza for it. One fast for every fast that was broken in that way, and one kafara of 60-day fast consecutively. So, this brother, for instance, 3 months, let's assume 3 months he broke the fast. He didn't keep the fast for any of those 3 months. What does he have to do? He has to keep one qaza for each of those fasts broken. So in other words, 30 times 3, 3, 6, 9, 90. He's got to keep 90 qaza fast. Plus, he has to keep a 60 fast consecutive. Why? Because that's the penalty for all of that. So he's not going to keep 60 fast for each of the fasts broken. He's now going to keep 60 fast for all of the fasts that were broken. That's the penalty for all of that. That is how it is kept. Right? So, very important to understand the difference between breaking the fast and missing the fast. Now, coming to missing the fast. What does missing the fast refer to? Missing the fast refers to a person not making the intention at all, did not start the fast at all. So, you didn't start the fast, you didn't keep the fast, so you're eating, you didn't actually break the fast. So, in that case, there's no breaking of fast, so therefore, there's no kafara of the fast. Yes, there will be a qaza for missing the fast only. So a lot of people are like that. In the days of jahiliyyah and ignorance, they didn't keep the fast. So they just didn't make the intention. If you didn't make the intention, you just keep one. So that is why the intention is very important. The intention determines whether you're actually keeping the fast, and when you break it, whether you're actually breaking it, or it's actually a must fast. My doctor has prescribed that I use an oxygen concentrator machine to strengthen my lungs. There is no medication in the machine. Will this break my fast? Using an oxygen machine or oxygen tank or anything like that, it's simply air. It does not break the fast. Yes, if it's got medication in it, and now you've attached it to yourself, to your body, and then you inhale it, that will affect the fast, that will break the fast. Why? Because there is a substance in there, there is a perceptible substance in there that now enters the throat, enters the blood, the body, and enters the stomach. I'm a habitual swimmer and I take part in swimming tournaments in Ramadan. Will it be permissible for me to swim? Does swimming break the fast? Remember, these types of things should be avoided at all cost. And if a person engages in it and water goes down the throat, that could affect the fast, and qaza of the fast will be necessary. That's why it's makruh and disliked for a person to engage in this act or any other act that would put the fast in jeopardy. That would include brushing the teeth. So it's makruh and disliked. Why? Because there's a potential of the toothpaste, so on and so forth, going down the throat whilst fasting. Does the time of iftar only commence after the completion of the azan? I have been to some masajid in which iftar only commences after the completion of azan. We were in some countries in Ramadan, and the brothers there would wait for the azan to be completed, and then they would break the fast. That is incorrect. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that this is the sign of the ummah, that they break iftar and they open their fast quickly. So as soon as sunset time sets in, you break your fast. There's no need to wait for the azan. We see in some masjid, even here, there's a few seconds before the azan goes. So that brother that says Bismillah from the back, you open your fast. There's no need to wait for the azan. My daughter has been declared insane permanently by the doctors due to severe sickness and illness. As such, she has the mind of a 2-year-old child. Does she have to fast in Ramadan? If so, do I have to give fidya for her must fast in Ramadan? Now remember, fasting, we said in the beginning, is compulsory upon who? Sane and mature. If the person has not been declared sane, rather insane, mentally incapacitated, then the fast is not obligatory on them from the beginning, so there's nothing to give at all. My father is old and last year he fell unconscious during the Taraweeh Salah. He became conscious the following evening after Maghrib Salah. My father had an intention to fast the following day, but he was unconscious the entire day. Does he have to make qaza of the fast in which he remained unconscious? There's no qaza because he was not conscious during the fast at all. Even though he'll be conscious for the remainder of the time, it will be compulsory for him during that time. But because he was not conscious during that fast, it is not, there's no qaza for it at all. Due to my mother's old age, she cannot fast. Can she give fidya for all the fast that she cannot keep before Ramadan starts? Can she give it to non-Muslims? So there's one important point here. One is fidya and one is fitra. They're two different things, but the values are the same. So you will see on the forms, on the posters, fidya and fitra, values are the same. Why? Because the measure that is used to calculate them is the same. 1.6 kgs approximately of wheat. They look at the value, the approximate value of wheat in KZN, and then that is how the value is arrived at. So that is the same for fidya and fitra. Now fidya is what? Fidya is for those people that are unable to fast, diabetes, etc., chronic illness, etc. 28 rands times 30 fast. You can only give that once the month of Ramadan starts. Some people make a mistake and give that before the month of Ramadan starts. It's not valid. Why? Because you were not present in the month of Ramadan. The obligation did not apply as yet. That's why it's not valid. So anyone that has given before the month of Ramadan will have to repay that. It has to be given at minimum on the first, and thereafter you can give for the whole month. 28 times 30. That is fidya. Fitra, same value, but now you're going to give that before the Eid Salah. When Ramadan is finished, to expiate for any of the wrongs and any mistakes in the fast. Now this amount also you're giving to who? You're not giving to non-Muslims. This has to be given to Muslims. Fidya and fitra. So your helper at home that's not a Muslim, you can't give your helper that fidya, you can't give your helper that fitra. It has to go to Muslims. So sometimes we see on the day of Eid, brother forgot to give his fitra, then he stops at the traffic light, and then he gives his fitra there, just to cover up. You have to make sure that that person, firstly, is a Muslim, and then secondly, that person is eligible to receive zakat. In other words, that person must be of a zakatable status, a poor and needy person. You can't give it to rich people. You can't give it to people who are wealthy, etc. It has to be given to those type of people. Now, a lot of people confuse the term fidya with kafara. They're two different things. They're not the same. Kafara is what? Kafara is when a person breaks a fast intentionally and then has to keep the fast. The qaza of it, obviously that is qaza, and then kafara 60 days consecutively. So that is kafara. This fidya that you're giving is not kafara. A lot of people like to use the word kafara, but they're actually talking about fidya. So when you're making your payments to the accounts, etc., make sure you term it correctly. Don't use the word kafara. Use the word fidya for the older people and fitra for the ones that you're giving before Eid. Does vomiting break the fast? So the only time the fast breaks is when the vomit is induced, it's intentional, and it is a full mouth. What does a full mouth refer to? It refers to that which you cannot hold back. So that's the only circumstance in which vomiting breaks the fast. Now remember, most people are not going to induce themselves and intentionally vomit. And even if they do vomit, it would be unintentional. So it's a very extreme situation in which the fast will be broken through vomiting. Yes, if you now intentionally swallow it down, or some particles of it, now that becomes an issue, then qaza will be necessary. So make sure that doesn't happen. In terms of conjugal relations before sehri and ghusl after sehri, no problem, that doesn't affect the fast. As long as that happened before sehri. Similarly, after iftar, no problem, the Quran is very clear on that. In terms of a pregnant woman, she is not exempt from fasting by default. She is only exempt from fasting if there is detriment to her health and she's been advised by a Muslim doctor not to fast. Contrary to the person traveling by default, is excused from fasting, whether or not he can keep it. The sick person, on the other hand, is excused from fasting if the doctor advises him, a Muslim doctor advises him not to fast. So again, not by default, you have to be classified in that position by a Muslim doctor to not fast. In terms of acid reflux, now we see during the day you get this acid reflux, the food is coming up from serital. So does that break the fast? Doesn't break the fast. It happens to a lot of people. So it's something involuntary that happens. It's not something intentional. So if it comes up and it goes down, no problem. But when it comes into the mouth, and now you've got control over it, and then you swallow it, then that will break your fast. So you just have to be careful of that. If it comes to the point where you can't control it, it goes back down, no problem. Comes to the point where you control it, and then it goes down, affects your fast. So those are just a few masail in terms of fasting. There's a lot more that we can go through in terms of fasting, but our time is almost up. We will just go quickly through a booklet that we had prepared on just a few important things of fasting to be covered. So, one is eye drops. Does eye drops break the fast? Doesn't break the fast. Ear drops, does it break the fast? Doesn't break the fast. Why it doesn't break the fast? Because it hasn't entered a valid entry point of the body, which is the front passage, the back passage, the nose, the mouth. Those are the valid entry points of the body. So that doesn't break the fast. Yes, if your ears are perforated, which happens in some cases, then it enters into the body, then that would affect the fast. Blood testing, cupping done during the month of Ramadan doesn't break the fast. Why? Because no valid entry point here. But if you are going to do cupping, etc., and it's going to weaken your body, then that is makruh and dislike, but still, it doesn't break the fast. Perfume, smelling of perfume, doesn't break the fast whatsoever. Applying oil, henna, creams, all these things on the body, doesn't break the fast. IV drips, a lot of people want to use IV drips while fasting, and it's common now. Doesn't break the fast. Why? Because it's poked into your arm, it's poked into your shoulder, whatever it is, it is not poked into a valid entry point. And whatever is entering the body is entering the bloodstream. It's not entering the main entry point, through the main entry points of the body, and it's not entering the main system of the body, which is the stomach and intestines. Nosebleeds, that doesn't break the fast. Mouthwash, toothpaste, etc. If you don't swallow it, doesn't break the fast, but makruh to do that. Patches, nicotine patches that some people use, doesn't break the fast. Obviously, all these things should be avoided, keeping in mind the full benefits of the fast. Injections, etc., don't break the fast. A person experiences a wet dream, doesn't break the fast. Smoking breaks the fast. Whether you're using the modern type cigarettes or not, that breaks the fast. Suppositories, that breaks the fast. Using the asthma pump, that breaks the fast. Intentionally inhaling steam that has a perceptible body. For example, people put Vicks in the bowl and then they inhale that. That now has a perceptible body and you're doing it intentionally, it breaks the fast. Inhaling like that, some people burn oud and then they want to smell the thing. Intentionally, breaks the fast. Nasal spray. Using the nasal spray, now that goes into the entry point, enters the body, breaks the fast. These six things break the fast, right? Now, obviously, if you are going to do these things intentionally, then it's going to be even worse. This is where it was done, obviously, intentionally, without knowing the consequence of it, etc. So these things break the fast. Now, we spoke about the traveler. Traveler will make qaza. Sick person will make qaza. A woman in menstruation or postnatal bleeding will make qaza. Any person who was aware of being in the state of fasting and accidentally broke the fast. What's accidental breaking of fasting? For instance, you're making wudu, you're gargling your mouth, but you gargle too much. The water went down. Qaza of the fast. You have to keep qaza of the fast. So, this must be kept in mind. A few things just to end up. If a person eats or drinks thinking that the Fajr time did not enter, but it actually did enter. So you thought it's still time for Sehri and then you're still eating. You have to keep qaza of that fast. Because the fast time has finished. But for the rest of the day, you can't engage openly in eating and drinking. You have to observe the sanctity of the month of Ramadan. So, it's your loss on one side that you went over the time, and your loss that now you can't actually do anything about it, but you still have to observe the sanctity of the month of Ramadan and still fast, and still act like a fasting person. Or, on the flip side, eating or drinking, thinking that Maghrib time had entered, but really it did not enter. So you thought, hey, it's time for iftar, and then you opened your fast. Again, you have to make qaza of that. Swallowing any food particle in one's mouth accidentally. Sometimes a person doesn't brush the teeth or brush the teeth, and then there's particles left in there. Now there's a rule here. If it's from the sari food, and it's the size of a chickpea and that went down, doesn't break the fast. But is anything bigger than that, and then you send it down and then you swallow it, that will break the fast. So deliberate steam inhalation of Vicks and all these scents that people use to clear their pathways, etc. If you do that also, that will break the fast. Remember, these things that we are mentioning, these are accidental, sometimes mistakenly done, etc. When it's done intentionally, for example, eating, drinking, conjugal relations, besides the qaza of the fast, a kafara will also be compulsory. So that just sums up the common cases and scenarios of fasting. If there's any questions, we'll take them now, inshallah.
Now, I'm observing the fast. Then, when I reach South Africa, it's Eid day, but now I'm still fasting. Do I have to break my fast or not?
So, you flying from Saudi, you didn't celebrate Eid with them, and you still observing the fast on the plane, and you landed here in South Africa, and it is Eid here. So, you would break the fast, because you will celebrate Eid with the people as they celebrated. But then again, you need to see how many fasts you got in total. Did you get 29 at the end of it? Did you get 28, so on and so forth? And then from there, you would determine whether a qaza of how many fasts would be required and necessary. So for instance, if you only got 28 and you broke that, you are keeping the 29th and you broke that, you still have to make the qaza afterwards. So after breaking it, you will determine what qazas you must keep and how many. So injections do not break the fast, simply because it enters the bloodstream. Wherever you're putting it, it enters the bloodstream. It doesn't enter directly into the system. A common misconception is that if an injection is injected in the stomach, it breaks the fast. That is incorrect. That is when it goes directly into the stomach itself. Here, when you put it, the people that use insulin and all of that, they're putting it, it goes into the bloodstream. It doesn't go directly into the stomach. So that doesn't break the fast.
What is some, we're talking about the people who are exempted from fasting for the during a time and all of that, and then the reward that's in this month is not the same as outside the month, and will they also
So the rule is, if you're present in the month of Ramadan and you kept the fast, you get that reward. If you're not present and you don't keep the fast and you make qaza of it afterwards, you do not get the exact same reward. But you are exempt from fasting. There's a difference. So being exempt from fasting is different to a person now breaking the fast intentionally. This woman here that is not fasting due to pregnancy, due to her condition, etc., she's excused from the whole equation. But to answer your question, the reward is not the same. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us, make our fast easy for us, and grant us the best Ramadan of our lives, and accept all our fasts, insha'Allah. Subhanallah wa bihamdi, subhanakallahum wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.